We're back here in the book of Proverbs. These are words of wisdom from heaven for life on earth. And here in Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 9 and verse 10, I want you to see the Lord's word for our hearts here today. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is not a text for a sermon on tithing. It is a text for a sermon on what you do with your money. What you do with your money defines you as a person. If someone gave you $100 and it was what you would call, you know, unspoken for money, you've no bills to pay with it, you have everything else covered in life, what would you do? Some might say, well, I'll take it to the bank and invest it. Some might say, I know somebody in need, I'll share it with them. Some might say, I'll go to the mall and I'll blow it. Others might go to the casino or somewhere else. But what you do with your money defines the real you, who you are. Solomon gives words of instruction on to how to know God's blessing upon your life, upon your substance, and what that will do to your soul. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave him dominion over the earth, a work to do. He gave him every benefit and every asset to do the work. But he was to replenish the earth. He was not to be lazy. He was not to be a layabout. He was to give himself in the service of the Lord. Only in your case, it's not the whole world we're talking about. It's whatever you would put your name on. It might be a bicycle. It might be a car. It might be a house. It might be a truck. It might be something you use for work. For some, it might be an airplane. But whatever you put your name on, God speaks to your heart today and he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Waste, disorder, and giving over to ungodly uses will bring you to shame. We see it every day. We see what happens when there is dysfunction, when people just let things go, and when things are given up. Now, all of this is involved in honoring the Lord with thy substance. And it's a checkup on the use of the good things that the Lord allows you to use. Because nobody has everything. You might have things that you call your own, but they are God's gifts to you, and he has made you to be a steward of them. And of course, the question is, how's it going? What are you doing with all the stuff in life? And we will add to that the opportunities of life that you may glorify God. Now, you might be asking this question, and this will become the focus of our message today. Why does God care about what I do with my material things? Why does it matter to God? I want to answer that in a number of ways today. Firstly, God cares about your material things because God cares for your soul. Yes. Now, let's look at these two verses. You don't see the word soul in them. There's not a mention of your spirit or your soul or eternity or anything else about beyond today. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. But The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You cannot live on the stuff of life that you may call your own things. They will either curse you or they will bless you. And if that's all you have, then of course you are in spiritual danger. When the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, this was really the Lord's reply to the devil. And the devil wanted the Lord Jesus to use the things that he could to use them for the devil's purposes and for the wrong use. We read of the story of the rich fool. Now, the rich fool was a farmer. He had a great bumper crop. And he said to his soul, I know what I will do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And the voice of God said, thou fool, for this day thy soul shall be required of thee. To be consumed with riches is soul-destroying. The Lord said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The more money a man has, the less he will feel his need of the Savior and of the gospel. And of course, the rich who trust in their riches, they will despise the work of the cross. They feel no need. And there is just something about money, the deceitfulness of riches, the tendency to put our confidence in wealth and in bank accounts and in the dollar, that we end up feeling secure and rich in ourselves. But what does the old hymn say about coming to the cross? When you come to the cross, you come empty-handed. The hymn writer said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And in reality, for a person to be saved, to trust in the Lord Jesus and the work of the cross where Jesus died for our salvation, you have to be willing to let go of the riches of this life. You know of the rich young ruler, and he came to the Lord and wanted to be a disciple of Jesus. And the Lord read his heart and knew his confidence in money and said, yes, you can be my disciple, but first go sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor. And he went away very sorrowful. But he was not a disciple of the Lord Jesus. So a very probing question will ask, will money save your soul? If you trust in money, you will undo the work of the cross and turn from the precious blood of Jesus to trust in the dollar rather than in the divine blessings of the Savior through his cross. So, point made, I hope. God is concerned about what you do with material things because he cares for your soul. Let me ask you, do you care about your soul today? Young people here, even little boys and girls, my, it's great to see a little child putting that dollar into the purse or into the pocket, taking delight in that first money that they can possess. And you see immediately the tug and the strength of money to man. And as you grow and get your first job and you get money, what are you going to do with it? It will define who you are. It will define what's in your heart. And I pray that you will not allow money to become your God by trusting in riches because you have a soul that needs to be saved. You need a Savior, and you need to trust in Him. Now, my second major point is this. God cares about your material things because God also cares about your body. So He cares for your soul, and He cares for your body. Now, we come to talk about these filling of the barns. Now, these are, of course, earthly barns, and this pertains to this earthly life, and a right godly use of your wealth will benefit your body and the temporal needs in this life. There is simply here a law of labor and industry that becomes a blessing. Now, we're in the book of Proverbs here. Let's jump to another one of the Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. Look well to thy herds and to thy flocks. Having grown up on a farm, having part in the care of animals and farm animals, all in the industry, of course, of, in the end, making a living on a farm, it makes absolutely no sense to me why anyone would attain a flock of sheep or cattle or whatever the animal they're raising and not care for them. Animal cruelty, animal neglect makes absolutely no business sense. To have animals that are worth whatever the value and see them become sick and die is a waste. To see them hungry and failing away to a skeleton, it's not only cruelty, it's madness. It makes absolutely no sense. The same applies to everything else in life, whether it's vehicles, machinery, buildings, business in general. The person who neglects his affairs is going to lose them. The fences will break down, the vermin, the rats and the mice will eat and destroy, the taxes will add up, and receipts will soon lead you into bankruptcy. Everything in this world demands diligence, care, and business-like approach. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where the law is entropy. Everything left to itself diminishes, declines, and without your management and your good care, it will come to ruin. I was somewhat grieved last week, and I've had my eye on this barn on 176th Street. When I come out from my home on 68th Avenue onto 176th Street, right in front, as you would sit at that traffic light, is this large farm barn. White, for the most part, with a metal roof. It was like a Dutch barn, had this peak that went down and then tapered out this way. Of course, that's for the snow level and bearing and so on. But this old barn has been leaning for a while, and I've been wondering and projecting, it can't last. And every time I would sit at that traffic light, I'd have these inner thoughts about this old barn, and I would think about the law of entropy. Everything left to itself diminishes and declines. Now, I don't know what happened. Maybe the bugs got in and ate through the support beams. Rot of some kind. And so it was beginning to lean. And then I can just see some surrey city inspector driving by, looking at this building, and he says, I'm going to ticket that one. It must come down. And so last week, I saw the track digger there, and I knew that was going to be the end of the building. And sure enough, the next day or so, it was just a pile of rubble. It came to nothing. I saw the size of the beams. Looked like 2 feet by 2 feet, some of them. And I thought about the poor fellows who erected that barn, whatever year it was, maybe 100 years ago. The labor, the toil, the sweat that they put into erecting the barn. And now it's just a pile of rubble. Everything in this world decays and declines. Everything needs energy and care. And it applies in God's work as well. The work of the gospel does not advance by neglect. And just as you are to take care of your home, your car, your farm, your dog, your sheep, your cattle, you are also to give diligent care to the work of the gospel. And if we neglect God's work, it will decline. And so your energy, your diligence, your work is required in the house of God. And we're told here that the law is, so shall thy barns be filled. There is also here the law of spiritual sowing. And if we read verses 9 and 10 together, we'll see this. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So you can see the law, if you sow, you reap. If you give, you get, and the Lord's blessing will be upon that. Now, the Lord keeps accounts, and the Lord blesses us in this life with rewards for honoring him. Yes, in this life. Now, I'm probably 90-something percent of the time preaching about eternal rewards. That if you take up the cross and follow Christ, you have a glorious heaven. You will be delivered from the torments of hell. But this text calls me to preach what is here, and that is that if you serve God in this life, he will bless you also in this life. There are immediate earthly rewards that the Christian enjoys. And so the Christian has it best both ways. We have his blessing now, and we have his blessing in eternity. And so we can have his best in every ways. How will you ever see this back again? That's my little heading here that I have to try and work through. The farmer knows that the more he sows, the greater the harvest. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Now, growing up on a farm, you see this every year. Self-evident. Put the seeds in, they grow, the harvest comes. But for someone who perhaps has never grown up on a farm, and maybe a city slicker, you live in a 29th floor in a skyscraper, and you're about as far removed from the farming world as I can picture. You say, you what? You take these bags of seed, you pull them off the truck, you pay big money for seed, and what do you do with it? You dig the ground and scatter it and bury it, and you expect that that's going to appear again? Well, actually, it has to rot first. The seed rots in the soil, and when it dies, it actually grows and brings a new harvest multiplied at the harvest time. Okay. And so you actually need to see this in operation a time or two to recognize that it is the law of the land, and what you sow, you also reap. Now, what is true in the natural world is true in your life. What you sow, what you do with your money, you will reap. You sow it to the flesh, you will reap a harvest of the flesh. Let's be frank. We're living in an absolute epidemic of drugs and addictions. And there was a major article in the newspaper this week of the ravages of alcoholism in British Columbia. It is the worst report in BC than any other province. Admissions to hospital for alcoholism is staggering. Billions of dollars in health care are spent on alcoholics seeking to be rehabilitated. Why is this such a problem? Because people sow to the flesh. Now, when young people get money, we soon discover what's in their hearts. And I beg you, don't even be tempted to go the way of alcoholism and drugs. Now, that's almost like an old man's advice to young people, because we know that young people don't take that first drink intending to be an alcoholic. And we know that people don't take that first pill or drug injection with the intention of becoming an addict. But it is the step that leads to addiction for multitudes, and it ruins. Have you ever seen the devastation of drugs? Have you ever been down on Cordova Street, Hastings, on Welfare Wednesday, when the streets are littered with people overdosed and ruined? Do you know where they sleep at night? Do you know what it's like for them to live in a body that is craving for the next fix? It is torment. It is a little bit of hell here on earth. Coming out of the city just this week, Grandview Avenue, approaching number one just before Boundary, there was this man staggering. And if I was to draw a picture of the impact of drugs, there he is. He walked not just with a stoop, but with as if one side was paralyzed, almost sideways. His hair was matted, his clothes, I can't say they were the most filthy I've seen, but they were most unfitting clothes. He had a bag of some kind, probably all his earthly goods in that bag. That man was born into this world, probably into a healthy, happy home, and somewhere crossed the line. The Bible speaks to this. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, substance here is not talking about drugs. This substance is your material thing. And if you do what is right in the eyes of God, making good use of your life and of your possessions, you honor him. And it leads to blessing, the blessing of stability, health, productivity, a clear mind, a healthy body, I'm repeating myself, and you become a support to those around you. I had a call from a man this week, a radio listener. He has a son who is on the streets in Vancouver and doesn't know how to find him. He's at his wit's end. He asked for prayer. Would you pray for Colson? That's the son's name. I said if it was my son, I would try to find him by whatever means. I would try to locate him. He might be sleeping under a bridge somewhere. He might be at death's door. I don't know. But I would try to find him. And I would try to reason with him. And even try to bring him home. His father, Steve, said he would try that. There's a boy that's breaking his father's heart. He's not a blessing to his father. He's a burden. What a tragedy it would be that if I'm looking into the eye of some young person here today and you are going the road of ruin because of what you're going to do with your money. And let's face it, sin requires money, whether it's vice, drugs, alcohol, or other such pleasures in this world. It will suck your money and leave you a pauper. Honor the Lord with thy substance. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." That's in this life. Proverbs 11, verse 25. Here's another proverb that speaks to this same very subject. Verse 25, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Now that's speaking of generosity, the right use of your money, the liberal soul, to help, to be a missionary or a ministry of some kind, to make your dollar count for good. That's what that addresses, Proverbs 11:25. And then Proverbs 22:9, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." And so that is the way to honor the Lord with your substance. Now, as I said, the most successful businessman should be a Christian. Christians should have the best work ethic, productivity, right use of their assets and benefits and opportunities, managing them well, and it tends to life, to blessing, to prosperity, and it honors God. And of course, the Christian thereby is doing all as unto the Lord. And God cares what you do with your substance. And so I'm going to challenge you. The next time that you use your money for something that is for the pleasures of sin, may the Holy Spirit convict you right there and then. May be a voice in your soul saying, "Don't do it. It will not honor you nor God." It's like that lady that was buying the lottery ticket. And I was right behind her in a corner store and I said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." And she bought the lottery ticket, wasted her money. All of these things are gimmicks and are the weapons of the devil to destroy. God cares about your soul. God cares about your body. And God cares for his own honor. God wants you to recognize two things in particular. Number one, he gives you the riches. He's the one that gives you the power to get wealth. And even though it's your parents' pocket money that they're giving you, God is the one that uses them to give you that blessing. Also recognize that you are but a steward of the good things that God gives to you. And you are to use your material things for his honor. You're only a steward. And every day that we live, we are using those benefits for the kingdom and for the day that we will stand before God. Hezekiah was told to set his house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah was to use what God had given him, that it might be for God's glory and honor. To have wealth that has to be repented of. To have material things that we're using for lust and pleasure and sin, and the devil is using for his kingdom. How shall we stand before God and give account on that judgment day? The things that God blessed you with, you turned them into a curse. Your use and emphasis on wealth and money will also be your testimony for God. To be a lover of what Paul called filthy lucre will tarnish your witness for Christ. If it's all that you talk about, if it's what you dream about, if it's what consumes you, if it's what you're living for, then it is going to ruin you. You must honor God with your dollars, and then you can honor Him with your devotion. You can't spend your money on the things of sin and then get down on your knees and be in communion with Him. It won't work. You will rob the blessing of God in your own soul if you use your money for this world. God does not ask for cheap religion. Yes, salvation is free. God's redemption is by grace, free, undeserving mercy. But it will cost you every dollar in your pocket to live for God's glory. And that's the gospel call, to live for God's glory. There can be no greater use of our wealth than to exalt the name of Jesus and to seek the extension of His kingdom. We are sold out. And I use that word advisedly. Sold out. A Christian's testimony. Make my life shine for my Savior. And what I do with my money will be a very big part of how I shine for Him. Think of the millions today that have no gospel. Think of the many in the world that have no Bible. They don't know the name of Jesus. Think of missionaries who feel the call of God, but there's no one to send them. Think of Christians who live in Canada. We all live like kings. There's not a poor person around us. There's not a normal, healthy person around us that's not living in daily luxuries. And yet there are souls in the world that are perishing. We are generous in the world, but mean with money. Contrast the multimillionaire at the judgment day giving account to God with the Christian who may not have had so much in this world, but used it well and glorified the Lord. What an easy account that will be. You can have riches in this life, and we all do. Let's face it, we all do. And you can also give glory to God. You can have your soul saved by trusting only in the death of Christ at the cross and still use your riches for His kingdom's sake. Thankfully, no man can be saved by his money. Not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Let me ask you another question. With this I close. What will a dollar be worth on the judgment day? Our Canadian dollar is having a rough ride. It seems to lose a penny and gain a tenth of a penny, lose another penny and then gain another little bit and down again. Money can lose its value very quickly. What would $1 be worth at the judgment day? I want you to think on that. I want that to help you use your money well and bring glory to God as a Christian. And I want it to be a warning to someone here who thinks you can be right with God without the blood and death of Christ. You can't. Honor the Lord with thy riches.